Good afternoon and a warm welcome to all of you on behalf of Mega Life Sciences.
Any call
For
out.
today's call, we have with us our CEO, Mr. Vivek Dhawan, CFO, Mr. Thomas Abraham,
You want some more?
Deputy CFO, Mr. Manoj Gurbuxani, Corporate Secretary, Mr. Sujintana Boonvorapat, and myself, Francis Rego. For today's session, we'll start with a quick introduction and synopsis of the financial performance for 1H25 and 2Q25, followed by remarks by the CEO on the financial performance, and then we'll open the forum for Q&A. During the Q&A, when you ask questions, please mention your name and the name of the institution that you represent. Starting the proceedings, we'll start with the 1H25 performance. Overall revenue in 1H25 was at about 6.6 billion, a decline of 14% YOY on reported basis. Mega WeCare business continued to show healthy growth, while the MaxCare business revenue in Myanmar declined. Brands revenue in 1H25 was baht 4.177 billion, reflecting a growth of 2.6% on YOY basis. Normalizing for the decline in Mega WeCare business in Myanmar and the currency impact due to appreciation of Thai baht against the US dollar, Mega WeCare business revenue grew at double digits in all other markets. Distribution business revenue in 1H25 declined by 34.4%. The decline in the MaxCare revenue is fully attributable to the decline of MaxCare business in Myanmar. Overall gross profits in 1H25 improved to 51.5% of operating revenue as compared to 47.7% of operating revenue in 1H24, mainly due to the change in segmental mix. Branded business gross margins were healthy at 63.8% in 1H25. As against 65.2% in 1H24. The gross margins of Mega WeCare business are influenced by revenue growth, product mix, country mix, level of output, amongst the other factors. Distribution business gross margins improved to 28.1% on an adjusted basis in 1H25, as against 25% on an adjusted basis in 1H24. Gross margins of distribution business are influenced by principal mix, amongst other factors. SG&A expenses were about 2.2 billion, flat on a YOY basis. SG&A expenses were 33.4% of the operating revenue in 1H25, as compared to 28.7% of the operating revenue in 1H24. SG&A expenses were higher as a percentage to operating revenue, primarily due to the decline in MaxCare business. Adjusted net profits in 1H25 were about 921 million, as against 1.051 billion in 1H24, a decline of 12.4% YOY. Adjusted profits declined in 1H25 due to decline in MaxCare business in Myanmar and increase in tax expenses, which was due to the expiry of tax privileges from BOI. The reported net profits in 1H25 were about 841 million, as against 991 million in 1H24, a decline of 15.1% YOY. Reported profits declined in 1H25 due to the decline in MaxCare business and the increase in tax expenses, as explained earlier. Operating cash flows in 1H25 were healthy at 859 million baht, representing 102% of net profits. We continue to be a net cash company with a strong balance sheet. On the capex front, we have spent 370 million baht towards capex in 1H25, with majority of the spending made towards acquisition of land in Vietnam for constructing a manufacturing facility and for maintenance capex and capacity expansion for our manufacturing operations in Indonesia, Thailand, and Australia, which is all as guided earlier. For the future capex plan, besides the regular improvement and maintenance capex, which is incurred every year, which is usually in the range of 3 to 4 million US dollars, an amount of 505 million baht is expected to be spent during 2025 and 26 towards the following projects. 495 million baht is expected to be spent towards Indonesia for adding new dosage form, warehouse and plant upgradation in the newly acquired Indonesian manufacturing plant. We plan to spend around 10 million baht towards ESG for our manufacturing operations in Thailand. Moving forward to 2Q25 performance, the overall revenue in 2Q25 was at baht 3.399 billion, a decline of 14% YOY on a reported basis. Megami Care business continued to show healthy growth, while Maxcare business revenue in Myanmar declined. Brands revenue in 2Q25 was about 2.193 billion, reflecting a growth of 2.5% on YOY basis. Normalizing for the decline in Megami Care business in Myanmar and the currency impact due to appreciation of Thai baht against the US dollars, Megami Care business revenue grew at low double digits in all other markets. The distribution business revenue in 2Q25 declined by 35.4%. The decline in Maxcare revenue is fully attributable to the decline of Maxcare business in Myanmar. Overall, gross profits in 2Q25 improved to 50.9% of operating revenue as compared to 48.5% of operating revenue in 2Q24, mainly due to the change in segmental mix. The branded business gross margins were 62.7% in 2Q25 as against 66% in 2Q24. The gross margins of Megami Care business, as explained earlier, are influenced by revenue growth, product mix, country mix, and level of output. The distribution business gross margins improved to 26.5% on an adjusted basis in 2Q25, as against 24.9% on an adjusted basis in 2Q24. Gross margins of distribution business are influenced by principal mix, as explained earlier. SG&A expenses were about 1.141 billion, flat on a YOY basis. SG&A expenses were 33.6% of operating revenue in 1H25 as compared to 28.8% of operating revenue in 1H24. SG&A expenses were again higher as a percentage to operating revenue, primarily due to decline in the Maxcare business. Adjusted net profits in 2Q25 were about 435 million as against 557 million baht in 2Q24. A decline of 21.9% YOY. Adjusted profits declined in 2Q25 due to the decline in Maxcare business in Myanmar and the increase in tax expenses, as explained earlier. Reported net profits in 2Q25 were about 391 million, as against 513 million in 2Q24, a decline of 23.8% YOY. Reported net profits declined in 2Q25. Due to the decline in Maxcare business and increase in tax expenses, which was due to the expiry of BOI tax privilege. May I now request Khun Vivek to share his remarks on the financial performance.
Thanks. Thank you, Francis. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Vivek. On behalf of Mega Life Sciences, let me give you a little bit of further background. Francis has explained everything in details to you. The good thing is Mega We Care, our branded business, is showing healthy growth other than Myanmar, which has got a slight decline because of quarter to quarter, sometime import licenses, etc., get affected. And if those are available, we should be achieving our goals in Myanmar as well. So the branded business, which is our mainstay, and a large part of our profits also come from that, is healthy. The Maxcare business, where Myanmar, as you know, was a large part of our business, was Myanmar, over 65% or even more, I think. The ratio probably changes depending on the year. It's been declining since last year. But so that has had a major decline, 34.4%, a large part also in the consumer business where licenses are difficult. Pharma also licensing is a little bit difficult. But we are hoping that things will ease up as there's announcement for elections and things like that happening. So let's hope there will be some easing up on licenses and we should be able to get more licenses. But there are two impacts in Myanmar. One is the import licenses controlled by the government. There's also the shrinkage of territory and shrinkage of the population that you can cover. But having said that, the good thing is we are in the country for a long, long time. Our products are very established. So being able to have them available, we have a good potential to still sell, at least maintain our pharma business in the country. So we are working on that in many ways. One of the solutions we are looking at, we had already planned before, then we dropped the project. Going into manufacturing, we have submitted our documents for license approvals, for project approval. Once we have it, we have the land available, we have piling done, so we hope to start very quickly. building a facility to manufacture medicines and also to manufacture some foods. That's our plan, and I'm sure by the next quarter we should be able to give you a better timeline. Things are moving, and we should have an answer quickly. Well, that's to do with Myanmar. In terms of Vietnam, I think people have questions regarding, some of you will have, how far we have progressed the plan. With the land deal was done, everything is transferred, all licenses, whatever there are requirements, ERC and a lot of other things in Vietnam. All approvals are in place. We are now in the final stages of finalizing the contractor. Should be done by not later than the first, second week of September. And hopefully we can sign off construction, partners, and then move forward with whatever licenses are required to start construction. So we are hoping to get that on place by 2028. We should have the plant ready. 15, 18 months is the plant time, then licenses, et cetera, all these takes. Pharma plants nearly take all this put together about 30 months. So we're hoping we should be ready in 29. If things will go right, we should be starting some production. But as again, I had mentioned to you, future direction in Vietnam, government regulations, local purchases, requirement for EU GMP, a lot of other things in Vietnam. And so we need to be there. It's a potentially large market for Mega, and we have to stay there. And we've been there for a long time. We have a large product range and a sizable business, and we hope to grow that in Vietnam. And that's a part of our plan going forward in Vietnam. Number three, Indonesia, the plant is working. We have, again, I think our capacity utilization has gone up. We have grown unit sale by some over 23% this year. So we are using the, but we are short of space. It's an older plant, so we have already build a new plant. We are hoping we'll be ready and up by the first quarter next year. Also, dosage forms, as I mentioned, we have soft gel and some other capabilities, flame-proof, a lot of other things to manufacture their products. We have developed new products, and we are also registering many new products in the country. So that is in line, progressing, growth is happening. As and when we get registrations, we launch them, and we are hoping by in the next 2, 3 years, as promised, they should see a better result next year on our EBITDA basis, break even, and then moving towards profitability somewhere in 27, around that time, 27, 28. So that's the plan. Indonesia as well, things are progressing. As you know, the impact on our business, I mean, Francis has already explained that, is the lack of BOI privileges that have now expired. So we have utilized all of them, and that's affecting our bottom line. Reported bottom line, we are still confident that we'll deliver something that's flat like last year. So we should be there on a reported basis. There is an impact on tax. There's nothing much we can do about it. And tax, whatever best we can manage, the right in under the regulation, we are doing that. Growth, we are confident. Our focus is on our brands in the next 5 years. So our guidance for 5 years doesn't change. From 2006 to 30, we plan to double our branded business and to double our bottom line from where we end in 2025. So that's the plan, and it's all going to be a lot of focus on the branded side of our business in every country. That's the main alignment we are building strategically, focusing on core brands and building them in all the markets where we are. So that's the strategy, that's the direction, and that's where our whole focus lies. And looking at that, we are quite confident that if that happens and we can do that right, we should be able to double our bottom lines. Meanwhile, if Burma improves, all these are additional distribution improves, et cetera, that should help as well. We are launching products as planned. We have done some launch about 37 new products in the year 25. We have probably done about 14 now. We still have 13 more to go. 12 have been done, 14 more to go.
20,
and 13 have been
23.
23 more to go, sorry. 23 more to go. First half we did, sorry, mathematically wrong. We've done So we have 23 more to go in the second half. Both pharma and supplement business, consumer health and prescription health business. So, I mean, that's the basis. Otherwise, I think most of our countries have seen changes. Nigeria has improved a lot. We are seeing a turnaround, all because of the currency. And we told you last time that it's a matter of time that the 1 year hit, which was beyond our control completely. But now we are better prepared. I think we have taken some steps to ensure that these impacts will not be major in the years to come because of the model change that we have put in place in many of these locations. So having said that, that has stabilized Ukraine. We still continue to operate and do business in spite of all the issues. And Africa, most markets where we are placed, we are bringing in more attention, more focus. And also we are growing our branded business in these markets as well. So that's probably it from my side. Then A, Mega We Care, the brand side, consumer health, 60, 40, 50, 50, will grow in that range. And slowly, both of these legs will grow together and build a strong foundation for the future of Mega. Focusing on certain brands, doing a lot more in certain areas and going deeper and becoming more of an expert in certain areas. So that's our plan. And we are working towards that. We have done that for a long time, and now we are going to take a more deeper dive in the next 5 years. It's a very simple strategy, and we are working on the full detailed document. And by February, our end of the year, 25, we should be able to give you a more proper detailed guidance on our final strategic plan for the next 5 years. So that's it from my side. You can, as Francis said, it's open to questions, Q&A. Please tell us your name and the question you have, and we'll try and answer them as well as we can. If not, the team is always there to get back to you. Thank you.
Paul, you can go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon. This is Tanaphone from TGSI. I just have questions on your goal to double your branded business in 5 years.
Yep.
And so that would come down to about 15% CAGR. And looking at your historical growth, the Mega's branded business has always been growing somewhere around mid to high single digit. On some year you grow by double digit. But to reach your goal, you would need to grow 15% each year. So where do you see growth coming from? And how would it be different compared to the past few years where growth was a little bit softer than this?
Yeah, that's a good question. How will we grow? We have done it before. We grew in the past. If you look at before the last 3-4 years, we are doing 16-17%. One is, I think, a lot more focus on certain areas. We have a certain few areas where we are sizable, but we have to invest a lot more time, effort, and money to grow them. That's the consumer health area, not focusing everywhere. So bringing a lot more focus on certain areas. Consumer health, over-the-counter, picking some brands which are sizable and still have a lot of opportunity. And not doing too many things, but doing a few things very, very well. Spending our time, energy, effort in this area, number one. And a lot of those products that I'm talking about also just got launched. They were fairly new. We were getting approvals of GoFen in some countries, just launched. So we believe that these have potential. They are over-the-counter drugs, a lot of them that we have in pipeline. And they are getting approvals in the markets where we are. And some brands have reached the stage. We have spent already 4 or 5 years building them, launched them. They are now ready where we can spend a lot more money and effort in building them. So with that in place, products getting approved that are big in other markets but not approved in some other countries, adding what we have and adding the new products, we believe that we can create consumer health part. But the other side of the story is our pharma business. So we are getting our product approvals in many, many countries, from semaglutide, the expiry of Wegovy, Ozempic GLP-1, some many new products in the specialized areas like ortho, urology, which we are getting approvals in many countries where we are placed now. And in some big categories where some of our products are coming, which are off getting off patent in some of the countries. So we put together the products that we are getting in the area that we are playing, approval that have just come or we are expecting them to come, and they are large categories. So we have products which are specialized in those areas in the markets where we are already in. So adding both of them together, there is a level of confidence that categories that we have picked, the product pipeline that we have in those categories, the new ones, which are sizable, and the potential to grow them is larger. So A is by focus, B is by product category that were not there. We are getting approvals and they are big.
Right.
Three.
Probably go ahead.
So three is the new product pipeline that are coming in the categories we are already playing. So we play in ortho, derma, some of these categories. So more attention, products getting approved in the market, they were not approved before, and adding more product which are new and have potential in the same category. So we are getting deeper and deeper on those areas. So, and the markets are growing in those areas. Drugs are not declining. Put that together, one, three, Indonesia, our production site is now slowly, slowly getting there. So about $40-50 million from the 12-13 should come from Indonesia alone because of addition of products, getting approval, getting into tender. So all these put together, I think there will be some acceleration. Sometime a little bit more, sometime a little bit less, but in that average 10 to 15% range that we will have to achieve in the next 5 years.
Right. And then just two more.
I mean, even this year we did, Francis mentioned we are doing some 12% if we exclude Myanmar, right? So that is because of Myanmar problem. If the challenges go away, if we have manufacturing side, if we have all the other things. So we are getting close to that with the right type of product. And I think more focus, that is the big area. That's the big thing. More focus on certain areas which have highest opportunities. After doing many things for many years, we have got here, right? So we are now going back to the drawing board and selecting to play in certain areas and actually go after them with complete total commitment and total effort behind it. We have the teams, we have the products, we have the structure, and the products are already in the market. So,
okay. So you mentioned two things just now about the acceleration where you have a new product come in after getting approval. So what sort of timeline do you expect for a big chunk of new product to start contributing meaningfully to your top line?
Yeah, the existing products to start already approved, launch already should grow, number one. Growth comes from existing product launched 2-3 years ago, you are right in the market and they come from there, especially in OTC, consumer health. Pharma, if you are the first one and you get a year or two, then you see growth. So we have some new ones coming in the pharma side. That's going to show significant growth. And in the consumer health, what we are already 3 years in the market, we have to grow them. Then the follow-up will come next year that will start showing results in the 2028-29. So there's a things that we already have to grow now, from now to the next 3 years, 2-3 years, 26-27. And by 28, some new one will come. Then again, you will see some jump again in 29 and 30. And pharma, as and when they're coming, we're expecting new drugs to start coming out in 26, end 27, that we have already filed, which have bigger opportunities. And we are hoping to see outcome from that early 27. Yeah. So there are a few product pipeline in many countries that are getting approved and they're coming. Some bigger ones. We have many products, but the bigger one, there are bigger opportunities where the size is bigger are also expected to arrive. So you'll see some jumps in 27, not 26. 26 may be that normal high single to a little bit higher than single in the double digit growths in that range. But acceleration may start from 27.
Thank you. That's very clear. And just the last question. Just now you mentioned something about Ozempic and GLP-1. I didn't quite catch that. So what was that about?
Yeah, we are working on it. We are registering products. So the one that's going off patent in March. So we are also in progress with that. And we hope to launch that also in many markets. So we have got licensing agreements in place. So there are a few of these products which are, I can't declare all of them here, but yeah, there are a few similar some sizable opportunities that we are working on, and we have the products under registration. The licensing deals are done, and we are looking at a few more areas which are aligned to our business. I mean, we are not good in everything, but some areas where we have selected, invested in products. And we have also picked up some new areas we are playing in, I think, for the next 5 years. Respiratory is one. So there are certain categories we have also picked to focus on more. And we plan to create a pipeline that is going to generate revenues in the future.
I'll go back to the queue. Okay, if I could ask another question on Myanmar. So I heard you are planning to build another factory in Myanmar. So what sort of rationale and what kind of timeline can we expect for a new plant to be up, if at all you're going to
build? I mean, the rationale is very simple. Myanmar, with the restricted situation, economy, the things will not change so quickly that they'll have ease of licensing in the next couple of years, number one. Number two, there is a 55 million population. If you take away 5-10 million who are not, so have left, and some are not accessible, still there's a 30-40 million population that is accessible. We have strong brand in the country. We are already selling. Pharma business is going to remain. So availability is very important. So this is largely to make sure that with the licensing, if you have sites and you can import products, because the import of raw material, packaging material is allowed, we can produce and we can sell locally in the country, number one. And that also holds true for some consumer products that we also sell, powders, etc. So we can A, make for ourselves, and if things go well, we can also produce for our partners. And if all that goes well, we can also export some product, being LDC markets, export from Myanmar to our markets early. So there are three areas there. A, start with our own. That's the first objective, without anything else. If the other happened, very good. Number two, we can also produce for partners who also have the same difficulty but work with us. If they find that valuable, and they can make sure they can get products in the country. So that is the second opportunity. Third is to do things that are in the food category, which we also sell ourselves, our own brands, and we can also do production for other people as well. And finally, because it has the LDC country status, we could also leverage that and do early registration development there and export from there to other countries which are not yet signatories for patents, and be early developers for product that we want to launch in other markets also. So those are the reason rationale to be in there. And Myanmar is one country we have been there for last 30 over years. We have a fairly good established name and brand if you go there. Trust and credibility in the market. So having the right products made by us available, we believe we can continue to do business and maybe grow business. So even if things change, market changes, everybody may say, why? Tomorrow, suppose you can import everything, there's no problem. But a country that is starting to open up, they always have a squeeze of currency and all these things will remain. And then fluctuation in rates because you are so importing a lot more. So it gives you an advantage being there locally. So that could help us continue to build and grow our business. So it has to be long term. This is not a short term venture. Just to solve today's problem, but it also has to look at the future.
Okay, and how much CapEx are we looking at here for Myanmar?
Pardon?
CapEx.
A plant like this, generally, you know, with building facility, you still in the range of anywhere between $20 million, I think, is a very common to build a site. The good thing about Myanmar, if you know, we have a very sizable warehouse, so we don't have to build a finished product warehouse, so we do our own distribution. So that setup is already ready. People, back-end, finance, accounting. So the front-end manufacturing site, making a simple manufacturing site, I would think in the range of $15-20 million. But that exact number, I'm just giving you a number based on our historic data, but we can, we will get back to you on that, because as I said, you will have an answer by the next, most likely by the next call. We should probably have more details on it. This is just an estimate. Please don't take that, but I think most of our data that we have, it looks like in that range, $20 million is a fair number.
Last question from me. You are building capacity in three different countries at the same time. And if I understand correctly, each of these will be to support the domestic market. So if you are looking to expand in more countries, where will you choose to manufacture your products?
I think we have a, if you think of as a global manufacturing footprint, right? What we produce in Thailand, we largely don't produce in Myanmar or in Vietnam or in Indonesia. So Indonesia is a large 240 million population market, and I think 98% of the production is designed for Indonesia. Because the law requires you to make products locally. If you import it after 5 years, you have to make it locally, etc. There are rules there. So you have no choice. If you want to import drugs in the country, you have to manufacture. So that's a completely new model. We were never in that business before. Now we will be there. It's a new addition to top line. Vietnam is a different reason because government has requirements. They are working on local content, local manufacturing, EU GMP made in Vietnam, they're putting quotas there, etc. So this is going to come in the next 4 or 5 years if you want to survive in Vietnam. And we already have a business, so we will transfer some parts of that manufacturing to our local site, and the new products will grow. So we are also adding new 10, 20 products, etc., 30 products in the next 3 to 5 years. So those will be developed and registered and made in a good EU facility there that we develop. So adding to the top line as well. So that's largely into Vietnam. But those same products we sell in countries wherever we are operating, in Africa, wherever, including Thailand, some of them we are selling. So we'll export from Vietnam as our own site if whenever we can. You know, it's not something that's going to happen tomorrow. But yeah, it's locally dedicated. But you can export to Vietnam. So can you export from Indonesia to Thailand or anywhere, in Malaysia, Cambodia, all our markets in Africa. So we can do that wherever we can with the partners we have. We are buying today, and some we can also export from here. So we'll do both. But yeah, they are locally dedicated. They are designed to service the local market, A. But Thailand is not designed. Thailand side is not designed for local market 100%. It's partly local market, especially one type of dosage form, soft gel. The remaining soft gel capacity is sold everywhere in the world. So it's not only here. Right? Unless the law requires or there's a benefit in other countries, then only we make soft gel like in Indonesia. So I think they are not fighting with each other. They have a role. And this is the main center. So they have a role and they are a reason because of that. Other countries we don't need to at the moment. Australia, we supply powders and probiotics and other things out of Australia to the world market. And remaining, we also do some OEM, 60%, 65% in Australia. So I think each has a different role and their reason to do it. Valuable, quick, speed, in some cases, the law and the requirement to stay, just to stay in business. At the moment, Africa, other places, we don't need to build anything. There's no real requirement and no restrictive policies at the moment. So we can import from our own sites and other sites.
Thank you.
I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
No, we are not planning to buy. We are building our own factory in Vietnam. We are not buying a factory in Nigeria. We were looking at one, but we didn't buy. But we continue to operate on an imported. We import and stock and sell in Vietnam, in other countries. Nigeria situation was always very good. We were always making a profit. It was a one bad year, which was difficult. which impacted our bottom line for 2-3 years. But business has been good and things are back to normal and we are back to profitability in Nigeria. Myanmar is a different story. We have done very well for 28 years, even 29 last year. It's only this year that we are actually seeing a decline because we had import stocks last year. This year, there is none. There's a difficulty in getting import licenses. We hope that's going to improve. And this is a very unique situation. War, other things escalating, which was not something we could predict will happen. And things were very, very good in Myanmar. And we have invested, built, and we hope the future was good. And we still hope it will come back and become better. That's all we can say. We can't predict politically what's going to happen. But still at the moment, business is still going on. As long as we can import, business still carries on. There's no problem running business. We are registering a GLP-1 at the moment, developed with some of our partners. It's under progress. Yeah. And the first question I answered already, we are building a EU GMP plant in Vietnam on our own. Already explained Myanmar business, the challenges with demand, population size, no other problem. And second is import licenses. That's the only difficulty. So
it's all market.
GLP-1, we are trying to register in all the key markets where we are present.
There is somebody, SS.
Kun Setapong, you wanted to ask any question? Please go ahead.
Okay, hello, I'm Setapong from Kasikorn Security. Just want to ask about the balance sheet. So I noticed a significant increase in the short-term borrowing in this quarter and would like to know about the reason behind it, how it came about, and the purpose of this funding. Thank you.
The short-term borrowings we do certain markets, you know, to mitigate the risk of Forex. So it is not significantly changed. Generally, we have a borrowing of around 200 to 300 million baht. In this quarter, it is close to 400 million baht. So it is within the norms. But generally, we borrow to mitigate the forex risk and meet the working capital requirements of each market. But if you look at us from a balance sheet to net cash perspective, we still have around 3.5 billion baht or 3.4 billion baht net cash sitting on our balance sheet. Thank you. Tanapol, yes, you can go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, just to ask more questions, but on the short-term side of things. So given the first half result, are you revising your guidance for the full year for the branded business? I remember earlier in the year you were guiding around mid to high single digit. Correct me if I'm wrong. And are you looking to change that?
I don't think so. I think we are sticking with our guidance that 2 billion, we are doubling in the last 5 years. So based on whatever we closed on a reported basis, 1033, what?
Yeah. So
and 2 years, whole year is what? About 2 billion approximately. Billion, so we will be somewhere close, if not 100%, 1.9, 1 point something in that range. So we are still hoping to get there and let's see how the second half does. It's always better than the first half. And things are still moving in the right direction, so we should be there.
So, Kuntanapol adjusted for the tax impact because, as we explained earlier, right, the BOI privileges are no longer available. So, except for that tax amount, the profit before tax should be more or less close to last year.
If we achieve that, we will be very close to the doubling guidance from 2019 base, tax adjusted. Thank you.
Right. And for the effective tax rate, in the foreseeable future, is there any chance that it will dip below 20%? Do you have any more tax privileges that are coming in? Or this will be the going rate for a while?
I think it will reach 20%. I mean, something may improve because if we have more BOI projects or other things like that, which may happen. But to make a guidance today on that, government has a jump start program if that comes in. So there are many areas we are eligible for. So let's see. We have a project in Thailand and they are working on it. If BOI gives us that, could add some more. But at the moment, there's no real definitive criteria. But I'm sure by Like Manoj, probably by next quarter, we can tell you what impact can.
Yeah. So next year, maybe something will come in.
Yeah, next year something will come.
But in the meantime, the you can expect the tax to be in the range of 21% or so for the year.
Thank you.
And there's some question on Indonesia and Vietnam. Where?
It's not showing there.
Why not showing?
Not sure.
For the developments in Indonesia and Vietnam, I understand that this will take time before they can ramp up. Does this mean to achieve the 2x earning target by the next 5 years, it will be backloaded in the later years? How do you think we should think about the net margins over the next few years?
I mean, Vietnam growth will happen from the business anyway, what we are importing and doing this. The manufacturing site will take care of some of the challenges that tomorrow, as local manufacturers start to produce, government has certain criteria. 3 products made locally, you can't get into tender, etc. So it's also preemptive and protective in some ways. And second is, and if you make locally, your regulatory speed is faster. So yes, you're right. That will only show any impact in 2030, Vietnam. Nothing before 30. But Indonesian project, once ready in next year, will start to show some impact starting 2027. So 27 to 30, you will see top line growth and improvement in bottom lines in Indonesia over the next 3 years, 28, 29, 30. But Vietnam, to see an impact on the factory, will only, manufacturing side will only appear in 2030. Because it takes time, by the time you get ready, GMP approval, then launch it, it's going to take 3 years plus. So that's the situation for Vietnam. It will be, that's how it will look like. But otherwise, the business growth that we are talking about, top line growth, there will be investments made in the country. But the business growth will happen, yes, as planned, as we are telling you, because we are also not, it's all not based on waiting for imports to happen, local manufacturing to happen. Indonesia, we have, is based on 27, 28, 29, 30 imports and local manufacturing. Vietnam is based on imports anyway, only 2030. So that's already been taken into consideration. And based on that, we are giving this 2x, bottom line 2x from 1,900 to 3,600, that kind of range. In that range, we are talking about 3.5 billion in the next, by 2030.
If there are no other questions, then we would like to thank all of you and we would like to close the call. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Vadikap. Thank you, Chirkan. Next time, see you next call, and hopefully we'll see improvements everywhere around. Burma getting better, Ukraine peace coming with Putin, Trump talking today. Let's see what happens to the world. So thank you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sadiqa.